Welcome to Business Matters. I'm your host, George Colombo, and I want to welcome you to our ongoing conversation about topics that will propel your career forward. Now, we're going to begin today with a fundamental truth about business. Everything gets easier and more productive when your company or your department is filled with talented team members, people who are motivated to do great work. But even though that goal seems pretty straightforward, getting there isn't particularly easy. Now, the trick, obviously, is being able to identify potentially great team members and then evaluate them effectively during an entire hiring process. Now, in spite of how important this is, the idea of selecting, hiring team members, the people who actually do the hiring usually don't get very much guidance, and they're often left to just winging it or using their instincts or using some approach that's not only unscientific but terribly unreliable. And besides, lots of candidates look impressive during an interview, but when they're actually in the job, things start to unravel. So all of that brings us to our guest this week. Since about 1984, Barry Seamus has been developing and implementing programs that help managers hire the best employees possible for their companies and their departments. Barry's techniques, his methods, allow his clients to hire more confidently by making, he says, the hiring process more objective, less capricious. Now, he has a pretty respectable client list of companies that seem to agree with his approach, and those include Oracle, Microsoft, Cisco, SAP, GoPro, and Autodesk. So that's a pretty good resume, and with all of that, Barry Seamus, welcome to Business Matters.
Thanks, George. It's great to be with you today.
Truth in advertising, Barry and I have known each other for the better part of a couple of decades, and not once during that time has he ever tried to hire me for anything. So I'm assuming that means he's a guy who knows what he's talking about. So anyway, I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, it is. It's good to be here, and I'm glad to share some information with your listeners today.
Very cool. So let's just dive right into it. What are some of the most frequent mistakes that IT people make when they're trying to hire employees? Where do they go wrong?
Well, let me share probably the two biggest right off the bat. Number one, and you alluded to this in your introduction, is lack of information, lack of a process. I mean, you'd never go about designing a system without a methodology in place. You'd never go through any other critical business discipline without a process and a methodology, and yet people go about hiring, you know, willy-nilly. So, you know, lack of information and lack of methodology is number one. And tied right into that, George, is lack of preparation. I cannot tell you, when I go into an organization and I audit their selection process, and I go on the days where they're going to be doing the interviews and I watch what's going on, it stuns me how many people will pick up the resume 30 seconds before the person walks into their office, or sometimes not until they're sitting in front of them, completely unprepared, completely and totally unprepared. So lack of process methodology and lack of preparation are really two of the biggest problems. If we could overcome just those, we'd be way ahead of the game.
And it's pretty amazing, given how important this is, that companies approach it in such a haphazard way.
Yeah, it really is. It's one of those funny subjects, George, that I like to you know, compare it to driving. When I do a presentation with a large audience, I'll always ask the audience, you know, raise your hand if you're a lousy driver, and nobody raises their hand, because nobody thinks they're a lousy driver. This is another one of those interesting subjects where everybody thinks they're pretty good at it, and they're really not. You know, nobody wants to admit to the ignorance, and it's not a bad thing. I mean, it's just you've never been taught. I mean, this is not something that just you get through osmosis. You have to learn how to do it. It's like any other knowledge or skill. You just got to learn about it, practice, and then you can do it well. And it's always amazed me that corporations, big companies, small companies don't throw more resources at this. I had a client of mine was startup. He was CEO of a startup software company, and I'd worked with him for 25 years. I started with him when he was a regional sales manager at a big company, and up till he was a district manager and a VP, and ultimately he was a founder of a software company. And after he started the company, he brought me in, and in his introduction, he said, "Hey, guess what? All of our competitors are busy building good products. All of our competitors are busy trying to attract customers." He said, "But we got the secret sauce, because none of them are focusing on hiring the absolute best possible talent, and that's why we're going to be more successful than they are." You know, and that's how he introduced me. It was one of the greatest introductions I've ever gotten. But it's really true, because if you do everything else right and you don't hire the right people, chances are you're not going to succeed. In today's marketplace, I say this continually, the only sustainable competitive advantage is the quality of your people. I mean, you may build a better mousetrap, but somebody's going to jump over you pretty quickly. You just can't sustain anything else other than hiring great people. And I've always been amazed why people don't put more time, effort, and resources into making sure they're doing it the right way.
Well, let's take a look. You're an advocate of a specific, you call it a hiring plan. And you talk about four components, the strategy, the budget, the selection system, and the measurement. Let's go through each of those and give our listeners an idea what you're talking about. What about strategy?
Well, once again, like any other strategic business process, you have to have a plan for what you're going to do. You've got to say, this is what we're going to go at. You've got to understand who's going to be responsible and who's going to have the budget and who's going to be held accountable and how we're going to approach this particular subject. And it changes. You know, when I go in and help a company build a hiring strategy, it's not the same at every company, because it depends. If there's a lot of people doing what you do and attracting people is going to be easier, there's a certain strategy. If attracting people is going to be harder, there's a different strategy. So depending upon the variables, you've got to go in and build a strategy. I taught a class for corporate recruiters, and I said, you know, after you have an open position and you've talked with the manager and you know what all the specs are, what's the first thing you do? And everybody's like, oh, I run an ad, and I go on LinkedIn, and I work Facebook, I check the social media. Everybody's got an idea, and I said, you're all wrong. First thing you do is put a plan together, because otherwise you may be running in circles. Until you've kind of analyzed what all the variables are, you don't know the best way to approach it. So I'm really adamant with my clients that they put a selection strategy together. How much money are they going to throw at it, and who's going to be responsible, and how we're going to approach this. So, because the worst thing you can do in a company, and I hope everybody who's listening takes this to heart, the worst thing you can do in a company is have everybody doing it their own way. That is an absolute recipe for disaster. You know, one person does this, and the next person does something else, and the next person does something else. First of all, your odds of hiring good people are very slim. But remember this, here's a hidden consequence of that approach. And that is that candidates view you as being messed up, you know, because each person's doing something completely different. They're going to, if this is how they approach hiring, how do they approach development? How do they approach their project management? I mean, I don't want to work for a company like this. So that's why I think strategy and your approach and having a standardized approach is so critically important to the process.
So now you talked there a couple of times about budget, which is the next part of your hiring plan. And I don't, you know, I could be wrong here, but I don't think people typically think in terms of budgeting for the hiring process.
Yeah, they don't. I can't tell you how many new clients I go into, and I say, you know, what's your budget for hiring this year? And they go, what? You know, they hide it under G&A somewhere on their line item. I mean, it's crazy. Recruiting, once again, like any other strategic business practice, costs money. It takes time. It takes effort. There's two components to the budget, by the way. There's dollars and cents, and there's time. So when you put a budget together, it's going to dictate a bunch of what you can do. And just so everybody knows, let me throw the caveat out there. You can solve any hiring problem overnight with an unlimited budget. You give me an unlimited budget, I'll solve any problem and guarantee it. I mean, I'll just go out and buy companies. I mean, if you have an unlimited budget, but, you know, most of us don't live in the world of unlimited budgets, so we have to understand how much money do we have available, because it's gonna impact, you know, do I use outside recruiters, which, by the way, is a valid recruiting technique. It just happens to be very expensive. If you don't have budget, that's not an option. It's not going to be part of your plan. And some of the less costly recruiting techniques have a little bit more lead time, so you've got to be prepared for that as well. So when it comes to budget, you got to understand we're going to spend some money hiring people, and then we're going to spend some time as well. People always do this, and they say, okay, we got this all figured out. And I say, yeah, who's going to be held accountable? I mean, do you have professional recruiters in your organization? If you don't, what's the hiring manager's role? How much of their time can they dedicate to attracting talent? Are they going to get dinged for spending time recruiting because they're not working on their development projects or whatever? I mean, these are all things that have to be taken into consideration when you're putting together a budget. So remember, it's not free unless you're one of two or three very special companies. Candidates don't just show up on your door.
Right.
It just
right.
doesn't happen.
So now the next item. Yeah.
You know,
the
go
next
ahead.
Item here that I wanted to get to is you talk about having a proven selection system.
Yep.
That sounds to me, it's one of those things that sounds good if you say it fast, but that's got to be tough to come up with.
Well, it is and it isn't. It's like anything, until you discover it, it's really difficult. But once you discover it, it's really simple. So my company is selecting winners, and we developed back in 1984 a selection methodology, which is what we do with our companies. We don't just do training. We implement this whole selection methodology, and it starts at the beginning. And the beginning is knowing what it is you're looking for. People don't believe me when I tell them this, but it's absolutely the truth. More mistakes are made when you put your specs together than the whole rest of the process combined. You have to know what you're looking for. In our training program, we spend 50% of our time building a document we call a success profile, which is the template of the successful person. That's really the hard part of hiring. But it starts there, knowing what it is you're looking for, building a template of the successful person, and then tying it into recruiting, then tying it into the actual selection. How many interviews? Who's going to be involved? You know, building an interview team is a strategic process that people don't pay attention to. You know, who generally
yeah,
whoever
it tends
interviews
to be whoever
is,
has some time on Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, you know, what I like to say is who's ever dumb enough to get caught in the hallways the day you got a candidate in. That's who ends up interviewing. And that just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. So what are each of those people going to cover? How are we going to validate the data, whether it be reference checks, background checks, multiple interviews, and so forth? And how will we make the decision? You know, when you said in the beginning, and I believe very strongly, you can knock 95% of the subjectivity out of the selection process. That's our goal at Selecting Winners. That's what we teach our clients. That's only possible when you have a very structured, repeatable process. And this doesn't mean we're turning people into robots. This means that we know what the screening steps are. We know what who conducts the first interview. We know who's involved in the interview team. We know when we bring them back. We know how we do reference checks and so forth. So when every step of the process is clearly identified, the probability of success goes up astronomically. I talk about that an awful lot, probability of success, because if I sat here and told you that oh, if you follow my methodology, you'd never make another hiring mistake. You know that's not true. We're dealing with people. There's no certainties here. But what you're trying to do is increase the probability of hiring a person who will be successful in the position. That's what we're attempting to do. And by having a structured, repeatable process, you're increasing those odds significantly.
So now, I'm guessing that documenting and developing a proven system ties into the fourth item on your list here, which is documenting and measuring. That your system gets proven by your making sure that you take measurements.
Exactly. If I can simplify the selection process for you, it is a data gathering, data evaluation methodology. That's what it is. That's what selecting winners is. We teach you how to gather data. And by the way, that success profile tells you what data to gather. Then we tell you how to gather the data. And then we tell you how to evaluate it. People struggle with evaluation, and it's mainly because you're dealing with 80% subjective data. I like George, the next interviewer doesn't like George. You know, how do we resolve this? That doesn't make any sense. But when we can translate the hiring requirements into things that can be quantified, and then we gather the data that allows us to quantify those, then all of a sudden the decision process becomes very simple because, for instance, if I said, you know, George has great presentation skills, and Fred, who interviewed George, says, no, George has terrible presentation skills. In the real world, that conflict is resolved one of two ways. Either the person with the political power, I'm Fred's boss, so my vote counts more, which is ridiculous, or whoever can impose their will on the other person. I'm a better debater than Fred, so I'm going to win the argument. Those are terrible ways to resolve that discrepancy. The right way is we both have to prove it with data. I have to have data that supports my evaluation that George has great presentation skills, and Fred has to provide data that supports his evaluation that George has terrible presentation skills. And when you do that, it's amazing how all these arguments start to disappear. To give you an idea, George, when we do our workshop, in 8 hours of time that we spend with the participants, we spend between 7 and 10 minutes talking about making a hiring decision out of 8 hours, because it is so incredibly simple when you have the data. So you have to document the data you're going to gather. You have to document the person's background. And then when it comes to doing the evaluation, it's really just a data evaluation methodology. It's very, very simple. You know, if I say George has good presentation skills, I'm going to go back and look at my interview notes and say, what data did I gather that supports the fact that George is going to behave in a way consistent with success in our environment? And it becomes very, very simple. So documentation is, when I say that's a key piece, it's not like taking notes, even though you are going to take notes, but it's really gathering the and recording the data necessary to make a correct evaluation.
Understood. Let me ask you this, Barry. Is our listeners are mostly in IT?
Yep.
Is the hiring process for IT different than for the folks over in sales and marketing or the folks in HR?
Well, I should give you the politically correct answer because we're talking to a bunch of IT professionals and say, oh, of course it is. But the truth of the matter is it isn't. Okay? I'm going to be honest with you. In my practice, I'm involved with every level, every discipline you can think of. And the way that I prepare to interview an IT professional, the way I conduct that interview, the way I evaluate the data that I gathered in that interview is identical. The process is identical to the way that I would do it with a salesperson. Now, of course, the data I'm looking for is completely different, but the methodology of going about identifying the data you need, gathering the data, and evaluating the data are absolutely the same. That's why we can teach our methodology, our selecting winners process, to anyone. IT people, I think, are some of the easiest people to interview because there's so much factual data. I mean, salespeople, there's a lot more what people call the soft skills and so forth. With IT people, there is so much more hard data that it's that much easier to interview. I mean, simply identify those knowledge, those skills, those abilities that the person has to bring to the table, and they have so many opportunities to demonstrate those in their current and past jobs that it's pretty easy to gather that information. So the methodology and process is identical, although the actual data you're going to gather is going to be different.
Interesting. Well, listen, we're running out of time, so I want to end with something that I'm just dying to ask you.
All right.
And I wonder about this in having done interviews myself. Is there any way to tell if somebody's telling you the truth?
Yes, absolutely.
And it's
absolutely foolproof. I'm convinced in the past 25 years, not a soul's lied to me in an interview and gotten away with it. I'm going to give you four steps. Those of you that listen, if you want to grab a pencil real quick and write this down, they're very, very simple, but it's absolutely foolproof. Four steps. Number one is to listen actively. And what that means is a great mistake people make in an interview is they ask a question and they sit back and just let the person talk. And that's a mistake because you're not directing the conversation. In that case, very often you're getting what they want to tell you, not necessarily what you need to know. Those aren't the same two sets of data. So engage in the conversation. You're constantly probing and clarifying and drilling for details. That's number one. Number two is to always get multiple examples. So if I say, how did you put that development project together? Or the question most people ask is, how do you put a development project together, which is an open-ended question that causes all kinds of problems. And the big problem when it comes to subterfuge, as I like to call it, is everybody can give you one example. Everybody has seen somebody else do it. They read it in a book. They heard about it. I mean, I can give you one example of putting together a development project, and I'm not a development engineer. So, but if I say, what was the second last project, and what was the first project at that building, and how did you do it in this case? When there's substance there, there's no problem giving you multiple examples. You know, if you ask me for an example of a CEO I interviewed, I can give you an example. If you ask me for another one, I can give you another one. If you ask me for another one, I can give you another one. Why? Because I've been doing it for 35 years. So that's number two. Get those multiple examples. Number three, in combination with the multiple examples, drill for details. The reason I could get away giving you an example of a software development project is because I know the buzzwords. I've got the gift of gab. I could scrape the surface and throw all the right buzzwords at you. It would sound like I knew what I was doing. But if you drill down and say, well, how did you time that sequence? And how else did you figure this out? I mean, now I'm in trouble because I have no substance. So the step three is to always drill for details. And step four is to always question the use of the word we. When somebody says, oh, yeah, we put that development plan together, I always interrupt, and I say, excuse me, and I ask two questions in sequence. Question number one is, excuse me, who is we, and wait for an answer. And question two is, what specifically did you do? The greatest percentage of the time when people use we, it's either poor use of language or they're trying to show they were a team player. It's not an attempt to mislead you. But you know what? There is a percentage of the time when people will use we to take credit for something they may have only tangentially been involved in. So those four steps, listen actively, get multiple examples, drill for details, and question the use of the word we, and guess what? It'll never happen again.
That, my friend, is awesome. Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure having you on here.
I love to do this. I've been doing it for a long time. And, you know, if anybody else wants more tips, I have a ton of free information on my website, which is selectingwinners.com. There's lots of articles and tools and tips and stuff for free that they can go get. So if anybody has any other questions, they can certainly look in there. There's a lot of good information for folks.
And you have a new book out.
I do. The book is called The Hiring 3.0, New Rules for the New Economy, which once again, Amazon, or you can learn about it on my website. It's just, it kind of encapsulates what you and I talked about, George, today, that if you want to be successful when it comes to hiring people, you really have to approach this differently because it's not going to get any easier. You know, the war for talent never went away. It's only going to get ratcheted up more, especially in the IT world. We are creating jobs at a pace far faster than we are bringing people into the workforce. So you need to get good at this if you're going to win long term. You just have to. So, you know, the book talks about how the market is changing, and it goes through a lot of my process so you can really learn about how to do a better job, give yourself the highest probability of hiring a person who will be successful in your job.
Barry Seamus, thank you for being on Business Matters this month.
Oh, it was my pleasure, George. Thank you for having me.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, take care.
And for our listeners, you're listening to Information Week Radio. Now, I know that many of you are listening to this streaming online. If you're one of those people, don't forget that you can join Business Matters live on the fourth Tuesday of every month, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you do that, you'll have a chance to interact with other listeners and with our guests. So please mark your calendar to do that for next month. Also, check at www.informationweek.com/iw-radio.asp, and you can find out anything you need to know there. Again, my name is George Colombo. It's a pleasure as always, and we'll see you next month on Business Matters.